The thick Kansas air smells of ozone and petrichor. It reeks of a calming devastation, and yet at the same time, it sparkles with a cleanliness that is very hard to express to anyone who has not been out here. Off in the distance to the west, thick black storm clouds decide to make their arguments appealing, and as they promise the threat of rain miles away in this long, flat land, to the east, sunlight still sparkles. As the sun casts its rays off to the side, we see a car. But to describe it as a car isn't quite right. It looks like somebody had cobbled together their daydream of a vehicle, something that kind of looks like a four-wheel vehicle if those wheels, thick and knobby, were designed to tear up the earth as much as they were just to push it underneath. The hood itself scoops up, almost looking like it's supposed to be a ram prow, but the rust spots all over it also means that whoever owns it doesn't think it's going to last too terribly long. And maybe they won't. Maybe they won't because he won't. Yakim steps out. His heavy boot crunches down into gravel that he was pulled up into. In front of him stands a blue glass window pane. It wraps itself around where other pieces have been shattered out. The white storefront looks almost like it could have been just left to go, left alone, merely a few days ago, maybe a week, except for the fallen sign that just now reads ears. Every other piece of glass in this place has been shattered. He steps forward. His palm goes out. His fingers touch the remaining piece of glass that is hundreds of years old, and he wonders what secrets it may have held. Welcome to Dying Sigh, and this is game one. So, as we, in session zero, determined, we were going to start the adventure, apparently at the end. We watch as the story that I've already started to unfold starts coming to fruition, and this is a way to kind of get something going. The term I always like to call it, and I'm not necessarily call it, but the term that it is called for storytelling is in media res. Now, as anybody who has tried to write a book or has gone to theater or taken an English class can tell you, starting in the middle of the story is a good way to get people interested. I don't think it's going to be too terribly much of an issue here, considering the fact that we are starting at the end of one quest and moving right into the next. So, as Yakim steps out of his vehicle, his boots crunch down, and he looks up to see this abandoned storefront. Let's already get to right into the fate chart. We know that somebody has beaten him here. Let's see if he notices that somebody's beaten him here. I actually think that it's slightly unlikely. As we rolled Jean-Francois last game, he actually came up with some pretty high-level statistics, so we're going to move through as though Jean-Francois has already come in, claimed the prize, and left. So we're going to roll on the fate chart. This is D100, so I've got two 10-sided die here. I'm going to call one of them as the top 10 spot, and we, at a chaos factor of 5, as we are just starting, this is a 57. The answer is no. No. The answer is no. Apparently, he does notice that Jean-Francois may be here, or at least somebody. So now I'm going to go look at the stats here that we have for our good old friend Yakim. He has a notice roll of a d6. So I'm going to grab a d6 and his wild die, which is also a d6, and roll it. Ooh, so he's got a 4. Given the fact that his friend here, well, we're going to say, because the fate chart said that the likelihood of Yakim, what did I say? So given the no answer on the fate chart, we're going to actually assume that the most expected outcome is Yakim steps in. He knows somebody's here, but there's no signs. He doesn't really can tell what is going on. I think Yakim, he has, out of his hindrances, he has bad luck, so he only starts with 2 bennies. He has an enemy who we will, come up with later. And he has an obligation, which we haven't defined either. Now, he does have a death wish as one of his hindrances, as all juicers do, which makes me think he knows that he's not necessarily... He can likely overcome whatever principle's in here, but at the same time, he's not entirely sure that he cares if he doesn't. I'm going to also take this opportunity to use one of the skills that juicers have, which is called burn. The burn is a D6 that he can add on at any time to just about any combat skill, though I don't know if notice counts. Let me take a look. Death Wish, Dragon-Inducing Euphoria. I don't have that written on here, but I definitely need to find it. I actually think that it may just be for agility-based combat itself, so I don't think he can actually use a burn die on a notice roll. So, but I do think he is now heightened and aware. He, from behind his back, he pulls out a large laser rifle. The canvas strap of it suddenly pulls in front. He hears it with a zipping noise as it goes over his armor. And he hoists it up, peers through the multi-optic scope at the end, and then steps through as quietly as possible. So now I'm going to roll a stealth check for him, which also is a D6. Ooh, both exploded. All right, so he has a 9. So that means he comes out with a raise. Not only does he... So that's a 9. That's with a raise. So he steps in, his boots almost ghost-like whisper on this heavy floor. As he walks into this abandoned department store, the light quickly dims from the rising sun behind him. He starts peering through the multi-optic scope. Everything goes green as the night vision kicks in, and he begins to sweep it left and right. He doesn't know quite what he's looking for, but he knows that his target is here and somebody else may be with him. He steps in, the crunch of old glass under his boots, but silent, barely going much more than a couple inches before he alters his steps and keeps moving forward. So let's see here. We're going to go right back to the fate chart. We're going to say, has our good friend Jean-Francois already picked up the item that he came here for? But we know that. But is he still here or is he already left? So I'm going to say, honestly, this could be, I'm going to say it's likely that he's already left. So 67. Yeah, he has already left. But we're going to find out if Yakim can see and track him. So he's got a survival skill of a D6. We're going to roll this. That is a 4 and a 6. The 6 explodes and he's got an 8. He steps backwards into the deepest portions of this old department store. On top of some of the shelves, he starts sweeping and looking for whatever his target is. He knows it by description. His buyer has even asked him for a specific thing. But as he looks through the empty shelves, he realizes that there's one section devoid of dust. He begins to glance around. He switches the multi-optic scope and begins to shine light where he can see footprints that lead out towards an employee entrance in the back. As he comes out, panting, into the beginnings of the sun, he looks down, and with that high of a roll, I think he even sees the tire tracks. Shit, he says. Yakim starts running backwards, and just in his under voice, shit, 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 shit. Jumps back into his old beater, drives off, and I think this is where we're going to start into our chase. All right, so I think we're going to go right into finding out who exactly is Jean-Francois. So we get to ask fate questions here. And these fate questions specifically ask, does the NPC have a statistic value matching, in this case, Yakim? So we're going to ask right off the bat, does Jean-Francois have a driving skill the same as Yakim? Now, Yakim's driving is untrained. So we're going to ask, is it the same as Yakim, which means it would be a D4. This is 86. Let me see here. 50-50 means we rolled over a 50. So not only 86 is not an exceptional no, but it is lower than expected. We don't get much lower than untrained. So we're going to say neither one of them are exactly you know, stunt drivers or any kind of like professional Secret Service style drivers, they both know how to operate a vehicle. But for a high speed drive, where they're both going to be rolling as a D4. Now, there is one thing, Jean-Francois, in that first in session zero that we determined, Jean-Francois has the archetype called a vagabond. A vagabond is a master of all trades, which means if he is untrained in a particular skill, instead of his untrained skill being a D4 minus 2, it is just the D4. Yakim does not have this capability, so his driving skill will be a D4 minus 2 when we have to start rolling against those things. Now, we're going to ask the next fate question, which is going to be, can Yakim catch up to Jean-Francois? So is Jean-Francois driving slow enough that Yakim could catch up to him before he really notices he's now being pursued? I'm going to say this probably would be, Yakim knows what he's hunting. Jean-Francois doesn't necessarily know anyone's chasing him. So I'm going to say it is likely, or even very likely, at the speed and with that high roll that Yakim got, that he can catch up to Jean-Francois. So we're going to roll fate dice. We got a 56. So being very likely, that is a yes. So a few minutes later, maybe even up to like half an hour, the rolling thunder looks like it is standing perfectly still, but the wind begins to cut through. We're going to say Yakim's vehicle, open top, because he's a juicer. He would be the kind of person who wouldn't necessarily care about protection overhead if it means he can jump in and out of his vehicle very quickly. Yakim sees a dust cloud up ahead. Heavy tires are obviously making it as he spots a vehicle coming from the direction he just came from. As he guns it, that heavy roar of engine just suddenly starts pushing this thing forward, and Yakim starts feeling just a flush of chemicals rushing through his body. For you see, Yakim, as a juicer, is wired that as soon as his adrenaline begins to spike, it spikes all the way up. Overpowering medicines pumped into him from subdermal implants all throughout his body begin to take over. His eyes dilate and they become almost eagle eyes as he starts staring up ahead. His vision sharpens and everything seems to slow down for him. Now I'm going to look at the burn capabilities of a juicer to see specifically. At any time, a juicer may attempt to add a single burn die to the result of every single agility, strength, or vigor-based trait roll. So, the only things you cannot add a burn die to would be smarts or spirit. So, his notice roll, which is linked to his smart stat, that wouldn't be affected. But driving is agility, so he absolutely can. Which makes sense, right? Because the chemical balance, or now imbalance, kicking through his system would speed up his reaction time by almost making nature and reality slow down. What is a vehicle but an extension of your reactions at times? So probably even to him, the vehicle probably feels slower than his natural reactions. So we're going to start with saying if Jean-Francois notices that he is being pursued. Now, I don't think Jean-Francois is going to come out of the gate as a wild card. I think he is going to start as an extra. And if he survives long enough, then maybe he will eventually become a wild card. I'm going to give him a D6 in notice because he does apparently have some capabilities, but I don't think he's much higher than a D6 right now. So I'm going to roll a D6. Ooh, he got a 5. In his rearview mirror, he sees the pursuing dust cloud of a heavy tired vehicle catching up to him. So I'm going to say that at the start of this chase, he's going to start off at 3 cards ahead instead of the normal 2. So I'm going to deal out cards. And what these are chase cards. They represent kind of the fluidity and almost randomness of a chase scene. Now, the cards themselves don't necessarily mean much right off the bat. However, the suit of them does. Now, in Savage Worlds, there's amazing rules for just about everything. And for this one in particular, for chase scenes, the suit of the card that the character is on determines whether or not there's going to be either some kind of issue, maybe potholes in the road, maybe in this case, it could be hidden dips, it could be broken landscaping, it could even be a ley line. So if somebody fails on one of those rolls when they are on one of those cards, and let me check which kind it is. Let's see. Chases. All right. We're going to put Yakim all the way to the left, which right now is the Nine of Hearts. And then we are going to put Jean-Francois three cards ahead on chase actions, maneuvers. Which kind? Complications. If a character or group's action card is a club, something has gone wrong. So I'm going to take that back. I'm going to correct myself. Obviously, you know, I've played Savage Worlds for only like about a year or so, and I'm still learning a lot of the rules. So when we put them on these cards, the cards represent the complication, but their action card, which is their way of dealing initiative to determine who goes first and who goes last, those will determine if there's a complication. It also determines the order of operations, so whoever draws a higher card gets to go first, and this changes every round. So a character who gets a jack one round may get a two the next. This adds a nice little randomness too, which is going to play in very well with the way that the mythic system runs, because it's all randomness all the way down, and we just interpret it in the best ways we possibly can. So instead of giving him two, I'm going to give him three cards ahead, which puts him on a King of Hearts. Now, as these two begin to square off, there's an obvious likelihood that whoever is in pursuit is aggressive. So I think Jean-Pierre is now preparing for the fact that he may be chased for what he has. So we're going to go into a chase scene. And now, as a juicer who's already pumped up, Yakim actually gets to, if he draws a five or lower, he gets to draw again until he gets something higher than a five. And he starts off with the King of Clubs. Now that means right off the bat, he's going to start off with a complication. He is going to have to make a maneuvering roll as a free action to deal with the complication. Depending on the suit, which he is on a heart, means that the character or vehicle is bumped if he fails. Jean-Francois, though, starts off on the King of Diamonds. So it's reverse alphabetical rules, which means diamonds goes before clubs. I think Jean-Pierre is going to, or Jean-Francois is going to start by trying to make a driving roll to get up one. The D6, ooh, that explodes, an eight. So he goes up two cards, getting even further away as he just begins to gun the engine as fast as he can, knowing that someone is now in pursuit of him. That puts him up to the three of clubs there. All right, we go over to our friend, he needs to make an immediate driving roll. Oh, I said that he had a D4 driving, not a D6. Yeah, so I'm going to take that back, actually. Jean-Francois rolls a 2, which means he does not get to move forward on this turn. He tries to gun it as quick as he can. There's kind of that heavy crunching noise of someone trying to drive a stick shift for the first time. As he tries to gun it, and the engine before he keeps going forward, the plumes of dust not changing speeds. Now, we need to go to Yakim, and let's grab both our wild die and our D4 for driving. Now, both of these, no matter which one comes out higher, gets a negative 2 because he is untrained in this. However, he can always use his juice, the juicer ability of burn, to add an additional D6 to whatever his roll is. So there's always a chance that he will succeed, but there's a cost. Now, we must make a maneuvering roll as a free action to deal with the complication. There's no modifier on it. That is a 2 and a 1. Oh no, he's definitely going to... So right now he's at a 0. I need to roll a 4 or higher on his burn die to get any kind of advantage going forward. Oh, and it's a 2. He immediately slams into a knocked over, long forgotten wall. It crunches as the old wood planks get stuck underneath the tires, and it actually bumps him back one card, which is now the Jack of Clubs. On that first round, neither one of them gains any kind of advantage, but the pursuit is on, and Yakim is now at a disadvantage, who draws the Jack of Spades, so fortunately not a club. However, the Jack of Clubs comes out for Jean-Francois. Yakim is going to try to make a maneuvering roll to drive forward. This again is a negative 2. Oh, wild die explodes. 6. Automatic success. and two more, so he gets to go forward one. He is now still only three cards behind Jean-Francois, who looks like he is... Actually, you know what? I'm just going to go in and throw the burn. Let's see if he gets an additional two on the burn die. He gets to move forward an additional card. Oh, we got a five. Yes. His senses kick on. The immediate sense that he is going to fall behind if he's not completely throwing any kind of like common sense to the wind. And he guns it. The engine just begins to immediately go into the red line as it takes off across the Kansas landscape. So we go over to our Quebecian. He rolls a four and a five, so he does move forward one as well, but there's a slight gain as the juicer begins to pull up ahead. Go to the next round. That is the eight of diamonds versus the ace of hearts, which means Jean-Francois gets to go again first. But with a natural one, and he is currently on a club, so there is no additional, but he does not get to move ahead. For the rest of his action, though, he turns back around, and he is going to open and crack open a radio. It's a local band, and there's only a chance that, of course, somebody else's radio may be on the same frequency, but it may cause enough static to get the other person to pay attention. So I'm going to say he gets a D. We're going to say right now, let's actually roll. I don't have to make it up. I can ask our friendly random character generating oracle. Does Jean-Francois have an electronic skill at, or does Jean-Francois have a electronic skill above Yakim's, which is a D4? I'm going to say 50-50. 58. No, his is the same. So his is a D4 as well. So we're going to use the D4 as his actual action. Oh, it explodes. Oh, it explodes again. Jean-Francois, what are you doing? And there is a burst of static in Yakim's vehicle. It comes from this small undermounted CB radio, pretty much the only method of communication if you are out here in the Kansas wildlands. And it barks at him. And then there's a voice that comes on the other end. He goes, let's see how terrible I can do a Quebecian French accent. And if any Quebecians or French are listening to me right now, forgive me for the sins I'm about to commit. Mandu, what are you doing? That sounded terrible. It sounded Italian. And if I'm going to try to do an Italian accent later, it'll probably sound Spanish or French. But the voice comes on the other side. And Yakim stares down at it. It is now Yakim's turn. He is going to try to make another maneuvering roll as his free action to move forward. He is currently on a spade, so he doesn't have that complication roll, but it is a minus two because he is untrained in driving, because why would you give your character a driving skill? That is a five. I'm going to throw in the juice. Oh, shit. And right off the bat, he rolls a one. Now, this does mean, because he rolled a five on his wild die, that he gets a success with this additional burn die. But what the burn die on a natural one causes, first off, a natural one reduces his burn die by one. So he's going from an eight to a seven. If or when Yakim's burn die goes down to zero, he will die right then and there. No resurrections, no coming back. His heart will stop. His lungs will stop. His brain will be oversaturated with medicines. And he will have to determine if he goes out in a blaze of glory. The juicer, as they get close to their time, they know it, though. And as his strain, or as his burn goes down, the burn die size goes up. Now, nothing happens because he's going from an 8 to a 7. However, he also has an edge that I took right off the bat. That is called Burn Brighter, which means if I ever roll a natural one, it counts as a six. It still deduces or reduces his burn die, but instead of it being a five and a one to give him a six, which would be a success, he's actually going to go to an 11. He's untrained, which means it's minus two, which means his roll is now a nine. So his heart, for a moment, in his chest starts pumping double, almost triple time. He can feel it, and his vision, just at the edges, begins to go a little black. It's a tunneling effect. He's heard about this. It's never a good sign. But it doesn't stop him in pursuit. At the cost of everything, he guns it forward. One, two. It puts him now one card away from his target. So maneuvering rolls are a free action. If you choose to take them as your regular action, you get a plus two to the roll. I think what's going to happen, though, Yakim is going to try to... he is going to try to intimidate whoever's on the other end of the radio. Remember, he has not met this man yet. So for his action, he is going to take an intimidation roll, which he has a d4 in, and then his wild die. That is a 2 and a 1. I'm not going to spend a penny on this, but he comes in over the radio. The heavy whistling noise of the open air and the roof comes through, and there's just a little... It's like, you have something that I want. I need you to pull over. We will come and discuss this like men, or I will run you off the road, and I will leave your corpse for the vultures. Sakim continues gunning it. We now go back over, let's see, the Ace of Hearts. Oh, he already took his turn, so now we go to our next round. Yakim draws the Five of Spades, but Jean-Francois draws the Joker. A Joker in this game, whenever you get this on your initiative draws, first off, your person, the character or that side, gets a Benny. Now, normally Jean-Francois would not have a Benny, but I'm going to give him one anyway for this. In addition, any actions that he takes on this turn are at a plus two, and he gets to go whenever he wants. The cards get reshuffled, which fortunately means that Joker goes right back into the deck for the possibility of Yakim getting it, but this does not look good for Lee King. The sound of the voice coming in on the other side, the strain coming through, the gritted teeth, while the intimidation may not have actually taken place. Jean-Francois now knows he's dealing with a potentially dangerous man. Maybe he thinks this is a bandit. Maybe he thinks this is some roadside murderer who's about to convince them to give up everything that he owns just to be left as a corpse on the side of the road. So, with adrenaline pumping through his system, he's going to roll a d4. Now, he is on a club, which means he's got the complication. He had a Joker. The action card is what determines whether there's a complication. So, this is at a plus two. He only gets a d4, but he gets to use a Benny to reroll it if he wants. That is a 4. That is another 4. That is another 4. Plus a 1. So a 13 plus the 2 from the Joker is now a 15. Fortunately, he can only get one raise in this particular event, so instead he is going to move forward 2 cards, which opens the gap between him and our hero. So as Jean-Francois pulls open the radio yet again. He goes, no, mon ami. I think this is not where we have this conversation. Let us keep going. Yes? And he is going to try to... I'm going to call this an intimidation check as well. I'm going to give him a d4, which is a 2. And now Yakim needs to roll a spirit, which is a d8, and his wild card, and beat a 2, which I think he might be able to do, but you can never tell in this game. And he does. He rolls a 3. So not necessarily intimidated by it. Feeling that burn cutting through his skin, causing everything to go warmth. I think Yakim is going to try to, seeing his pursuit getting away, he's going to try to take his action to drive, which will give him a plus 2, negating his unskilled check. So his 4 explodes to a 6. So he gets to move forward 1 card. There's still a card in between them before Yakim catches up. This doesn't necessarily look good for him, but he's not giving up on the pursuit that easily. So we've reshuffled the deck. The King of Spades versus the Queen of Clubs. Yakim, again, is going to take another action to try to maneuver and get as close as he can. This is going to cancel out his untrained and... Ooh, wild die explodes for a 6 with an 8. So he gets a raise, and he is now alongside. The two bumpers are getting closer and closer. And as Jean-Francois turns around, he tries to look in the mirrors. The underprinted signing of objects in the mirror may be closer than they appear shows a very angry, grimacing face of Yakim in the driver's seat, staring directly at him. I think, given the fact that that was his action, of course, Yakim can't do anything to intimidate or even try to, like, pit maneuver. But I think and may cause this next role to be very complicated, as Jean-Francois has the Queen of Clubs, and he's currently on a diamonds, which is a -2. The character or vehicle is bumped if he fails this role. He has a D4 in rolling. Normally it's equalized. It's a -2 because of the clubs, or because of the diamond that he's on. So let's find out. He has to roll a 4 and explode with an additional 2 to not get bumped, knocked aside, or pitted. He rolls a 3. This is why you give NPCs bennies. As he spends the benny, he's going to re-roll that D4 to get a 1. Oh, terrible. As he tries to race to get a little bit ahead of Yakim, his car gets bumped. He determines which direction, so the attacker in this case determines which direction he goes. Let's see. What does a bump actually do, though? This is the important question right now. A bump. 4, change position. Nope. I'm looking to see. Cause a bump may move the defender 1 chase card in any direction. He's going to bump him back 1 card. So now Yakim is slightly ahead. Now, of course, Yakim doesn't have to take a driving roll to see if he pulls up. But, of course, that necessarily doesn't mean that Jean-Pierre doesn't try to take a different angle and keep going past him. But what we're going to do here, I'm just making sure that we don't have another issue of being bumped causes an issue. Nope. All right. So I think what will happen here is Jean-Francois suddenly loses a little bit of control of his vehicle. I'm going to say this was is Jean-Francois driving something larger than Yakin? 28. No, I'm going to say he's driving something very similar. Maybe we're going to say it's an old converted bus. A vagabond living in a bus down by the river sounds fairly appropriate here. So Jean-Francois in his converted out bus, heavy duty wheels, reinforced siding, the glass, and even we'll say that there's a porthole at the top, though there's no weapon currently mounted. It would be a perfect spot for a pintle mount weapon. He keeps going as fast as he can as Yakim watches as he kind of gets stuck. The heavy vehicle crashes down. Some underbrush gets tangled up underneath, and Yakim finds himself pulling up ahead. I'm going to draw the next cards, a 9 of diamonds. Oh, and the Joker again. You know, for a Quebecian, he's pretty lucky here. So we're going to take him first. He is going to try to... Jean-Francois is going to try to see if he can get past and around Yakim to continue this this race. D4, he gets a +2 from being on the Joker, and it is a 1. So no, he does not move forward at all. Now, neither one of them is shot, but we are going to roll on a new table. That is called Character Actions. Let's see if something specifically... there we go. Character Actions, we will say Character Actions Combat. We're going to roll twice on this chart to determine, now that fight or flight is probably going to kick in for Jean-Francois, let's find out how he reacts. 89, which is Swift, and 12, Swift Attack. Okay. Jean-Francois, feeling cornered, pulls out his pistol, and we're going to ask, does Jean-Francois have a shooting die the same as Yakim? Let's hope not. I'm going to say this is kind of unlikely, which means he needs to roll a 35 or lower to have better than a shooting die of a trained killer. He rolled a 75, so no. So we're going to say that it's a D6, because that feels a little average, middle of the road. Given the speed, it's at a -2, but it's got a Joker, so that evens out. So I think what's going to happen is he's going to pull up a laser pistol, a Wilkes laser pistol, and he's going to fire at Yakim. He has to beat a 4 to hit him in the vehicle. Oh, it explodes. Oh, it explodes again. Oh, a 13 total. All right, a Wilkes laser pistol. I remember correctly, is 3d6. I'm going to verify just to be sure. Flip, 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 flip. There's armor. Plenty of armor in this game. Power armor. And now laser weapons. Wilk's laser pistol is 3d6. Armor piercing 2. So we're going to roll with an additional d4, representing the raise that he got from such a high shooting roll. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 points. 11 points of damage, but that does not... Yeah, that is not enough to beat the armor of Yakim's vehicle. It leaves a heavy blackened scar along the side and a gouge that looks like it's just matching into another group altogether. And so I think it's going to continue going forward while stuck in this spot. Jean-Pierre is going to prepare himself to see if he can still get past Yakim's. These cars go barreling down. Yakim... getting fired upon does not make him happy, but he can drop back a card with no penalty, and I think he's going to try to ram his target. To ram a target. Let me see here. Change positions board. Make opposed maneuvering rolls. Okay. So Yakim, with his -2, is going to try to ram Jean-Francois off and get him to stop. Oh, shit. Double ones. He just rolled snake eyes on this. This is real bad for Yakim. His vehicle, for some reason, glitches out when he got the worst, which means all rolls going forward on his vehicle is now at a -2. There's almost no point, but I'm going to roll it anyway, just in case he gets a 1 as well. No, it explodes. The vehicle, as he pit maneuvers in, there's a sickening crunching noise, and where the laser pistol shot, suddenly paneling falls off of Yakim's car. It causes him to lose control. He begins to spin in place, and when he finally rights the vehicle, there's now just a guttural sound coming from under the engine and a little bit of a white smoke coming out of the tailpipe. I'm going to go into the next round of initiative. That sucked for Yakim. Yakim draws a 2. Oh, actually, I need to reshuffle because the Joker was drawn. So let's go ahead and get that shuffle on. Man, that sucked. Yakim's vehicle might be out of commission very, very soon. So... Yakim draws the Jack of Spades, and Jean-Francois draws the 6 of Spades. So Yakim gets to go first. He's still going to try to make a maneuvering roll, but now it is at a combination -2 from being untrained and a -2 from the heavy crunching damage that he just took. So this is a -4. Yeah, even rolling a 5 isn't enough, but he's going to use a burn die. So 5 puts it down to a modified 1. He needs to roll a 3 or higher on his burn die to even be able to really... Well, this isn't... I'm sorry, they're still on the same card. So this isn't to move forward. This is to pit maneuver, get Jean-Francois out of the way. But still, he rolled a 5 minus 4, which is a modified 1, which could easily be beat with even a vagabond's roll. So he still needs to roll high on his burn die. No, he rolled another 1. Oh, buddy. Is this it? Are we going to go out in the first game? I need you to hold together for a little bit longer, Yakim. His burn is now down to a 6. Yakim feels this pressure build up behind his eyes. Even with the 1, though, that counts as he's got to beat a 7, which he only rolled a 3. So Yakim, now fury beginning to build up. He slams his partially broken vehicle into the side of this van. It spins out. He forces it, rolled a critical maneuvering on a skilled roll. And now he needs to roll a out of control, I believe. I'm going to double check the rules again. Let's see, a force. If the attacker wins, he bumps. See below for his form. A raise is treated as if the defender rolled a critical failure in a maneuvering roll. The maneuvering skills, page 113. And I believe That means he rolls out of control. Let's see, critical failure. Must roll on the out of control table, page 119. So we go back to that page, out of control. He rolls 2d6. And rolls double ones, major collision. Everyone in the vehicle is distracted. It takes d4 wounds. So the vehicle was out of commission. And one critical hit. Rolls a 10. The crew, the occupants are shaken. Yakim, taking his slowly dying car and slams it into the side of Jean-Francois' vehicle. Not caring what's going to happen to his vehicle, Yakim continues the pit. He pushes. The steering wheel almost seems to be shaking in his hand. It causes that vibration to echo up, fully up his arms. And as he feels it, he just pulls again to the left. And suddenly the two vehicles are locked in a T-shape. Heavy crunch, and suddenly Jean-Francois' vehicle tips, it spills, and it begins to roll like shaken dice out of a tumbler. The vehicle comes to a rest on its roof. The front of it completely collapsed, the ceiling itself now crushed in, and crawling out from underneath because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, is the Quebecian, Jean-Francois. All right. As these two combatants... I guess we would call them, they're not quite vultures, but they are now in competition with each other. We watch as Jean-Francois tries to pull himself up, crawling on his elbows. He has taken at least one wound. Oh no, he is shaken. He has not taken a wound yet. But he comes out shaking, blinking, looking up towards a very high-powered laser rifle pointed directly at him. I'm going to give Yakim a free intimidation roll, which is a d4. I'm going to add a plus 2 because of the craziness that just occurred. So that is a 2, so that's a 4. He's got to beat, given that he is shaken. So Jean-Francois needs to roll above a 4 on his spirit. He rolls a 3. He just, no more. He kind of blinks away as apparently his accent keeps changing. No. Why you do this? And Yakim comes up, the gun still pointed directly at his head. He holds out a hand in a non-trembling, icy cold voice, despite the fact that right now there is a pure hellfire river of chemicals running through Yakim's bloodstream. He holds out a hand. He goes, I came to pick up a doll. I think you know this. I think you wanted to steal it. And I'm going to tell you that if you take even one more inch of movement, I'll leave you here and we'll pull it out of that wreckage. Jean-Francois just goes, oh, fuck. Please, at least take me back with you and we can go back to the town. You can have it all. Just please don't kill me. So I'm going to leave this up to fate. Right now with these heightened adrenaline inducing and just pure testosterone almost level fury building up into Yakim's veins. Does he take Jean-Francois up? He doesn't have, so specifically I'm going to say Yakim does not have the bloodthirsty hindrance. He has a death wish, which means he didn't care about this particular race, even as he damaged his vehicle. This bad luck is already represented by the fact he only gets 2 bennies instead of 3. And we don't really know who Yakim is just yet. So I am going to say it is 50-50. If Yakim rolls 50 or lower, he's going to take Jean-Francois back with him. If he rolls a 51 to a 91, then he's going to leave him here and take the doll. But if he rolls a 92 or higher, Yakim may murder this man out here where no one is watching. So we're going to leave this up to fate. Okay.